This is CliffCentral.com.
After a lifetime of being at war with my gender, I've decided to embrace myself for who I am, inside and out. The singer added, I've been very nervous about announcing this because I care too much about what people think. 6 months ago, Smith said, they did not feel male or female, but I flow somewhere in between. On Friday, the 27-year-old said they had been surrounded by people that support me in this decision. They wrote.
No, you see.
Gareth.
You know.
Gareth.
Sorry. They wrote, mm-hmm. I understand there will be many mistakes and misgendering, but all I ask is you please, please try. I hope I can see me. I hope you can see me like I see myself now. Thank you. Singer went on to say, I'm at no stage just yet to eloquently speak at length about what it means to be non-binary, but I can't wait for the day that I am. So for now, I just want to be visible and open. I hope they are going to give back all those Best Male Artist awards that they have won over the last couple of years. Because you can't be the best male artist if you are they. Ooh. And you also can't now not make yourself available for the best female artists as
Why
well.
Why is there a best male and a best female
Because
artist?
They're so different. They're so different.
What? In terms of vagina and penis?
No, the kinds of music. The kinds of music that women make certain songs sound better or worse. Men make certain songs sound better or worse, generally. That's why you like a diva to sing a certain kind of love song. You like a man to sing a certain kind of song. It's just, it gives it a different flavor. And they might be very different too. Who knows?
They,
as in Sam Smith, they might start making their music different. The whole thing to me just smacks of total self-absorbed nonsense. I'm terribly sorry to say this, but I don't believe that there is anything going on here other than attention-seeking and or mental illness, and that the two are completely the only. They are a numerous clauses for the explanations around what's going on.
I'm too scared to form an opinion yet. I need time for it to settle, maybe a few years.
Not even an opinion. I just want to understand this more.
All right, let me
what
help
is being non-binary?
Let me help you. So Ben Hunt, who is the LGBT correspondent for the BBC, says the following.
He's a cutie. No, I follow him. Okay.
He's the LGBT correspondent.
Yeah,
there's an actual job for this. Adopting pronouns of they, them can be a new concept to some people. But those familiar with the LGBT community will be aware that this often accompanies non-binary identities. For a long time, several of those who identify as non-binary have called for wider awareness of the issues that they face being themselves on a daily basis. With no specifically non-binary charities in the UK, some people in the community say they're suffering in silence. From street harassment for not matching up to their assigned gender and the associated stereotypes, to those in the hospitality industry referring to them as sir or madam, it can be challenging. Using they-them pronouns can help non-binary individuals feel more accepted. Today, some LGBT people are saying that the spotlight on non-binary lives is exactly what the community's needed. Okay. Speaking at London's first ever trans pride event, Aisha Brown, 37, welcomed Smith's announcement, saying, "We definitely need more non-binary people in the public space, being visibly non-binary."
What does that mean? Does that mean wearing, maybe having long nails and short hair? And I don't understand.
Nobody does. The people who have this problem don't understand. You can be as thought. Listen, if I go up to the hotel reception desk and there's someone who's dressed like a man, who looks like a man and quacks like a man, I'm going to say, sir. And I don't think that's me being disrespectful. If it's what I think might be a woman, I'm going to go, ma'am. I'm not trying to upset anybody. I'm just trying to get my hotel room reserved. I don't actually care about what gender. Why should I give a shit what the gender of the person behind the counter is?
Just get the
it
job
doesn't
done.
Interest me. I'm not there for them. I'm there for me.
I've been reading this definition over and over again, and I still don't.
I need some time and some more examples.
But by definition, being non-binary is a spectrum of gender identities that are not exclusively masculine or exclusively feminine and identifies that are outside the gender binary.
There may be people, a very, very small percentage of people, I think they've done research into what percentage of the population is transgender or intersex or gender non-binary.
Gender queer is what it's like to be called.
It's like 0.2%. 0.2%. So the chances of you encountering someone who is absolutely, really, genuinely transgender, intersex, or non-binary, tiny. Therefore, we should not spend any more time considering this possibility. It is the rarest thing. It's like meeting someone who has four ears. It is a very rare condition.
But I also think, is this not perhaps the way people were talking when the idea of homosexuality
was always
here and then everywhere?
You're right. This is what bothers me, is that I might sound, if I listen to these recordings in 10 years' time,
I reserve opinion for now.
Like a bigot. But the fact is, this is a very, very strange and very rare and very bizarre new thing for humanity to deal
with. Some people still think being gay is strange.
Sure. But every creature on Earth, as far as we can tell, with very few exceptions. Again, there are exceptions to every rule which makes the rule. But most species on Earth are either male or female. And that's not a rule for everything.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that anyone who isn't gender specific has something wrong with them. But I'm likelier to think that either these people, in the case of Sam Smith, who are doing this publicly, are doing it for attention, or because they're going through some kind of gender dysphoria, which is a serious condition. You can look that up too. I think that's a fair assumption at this point.
I think I'm slightly desensitized to it all because I follow YouTubers like Jeffree Star.
Hmm. So you don't actually...
I'm used to seeing a merge between male and female.
Yeah.
And it's
like an androgyny.
Yeah. And so it doesn't bug me at all. I just think, why make a big song and dance about it? Just be it.
No, it's neither that it bugs me either, but I'd just like to understand what it means practically or what it means in general. Does it mean, when you say you're non-binary, does it mean that sometimes you identify as male? Does it mean that sometimes you identify as female? Or does
it
mean that you...
not so much sexually.
You think you are a merge of the two?
I think it's less identifying as male or female. It's more identifying as feminine or masculine.
Oh, it's so complicated. It hurts my brain. All right.
Not easy for...
just on that note, gender dysphoria you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the condition of feeling one's emotional and psychological identity as male or female to be opposite to one's biological sex.
Mm.
Sorry, I don't know what that meant.
Well, here's Caitlyn Jenner at the roast of Alec Baldwin.
What a segue.
I know. Here's Caitlyn Jenner at the roast of Alec Baldwin having some fun with, you know, what we've all been joking about for the longest time. And I think this is great. If Caitlyn Jenner can make fun of herself, then I think we're all starting to understand. Because it's all been too terribly serious up to now. The minute we can introduce a little humor to this whole thing, maybe it'll make more sense. Because I don't think Sam Smith's got a sense of humor about this. Caitlyn Jenner certainly does. Listen.
All of you are making these silly comments and jokes about how I kind of cut it off. Let me remind you, it made Kylie Jenner the youngest self-made billionaire in history. It made Kendall Jenner the highest paid model in the world. I raised 10 children. I'm coming up on 20 grandchildren. I didn't cut it off. I just retired it. It was done.
I mean, I like that.
Mm.
That's kind of funny.
Look, man, with 10 children, yeah. 20 grandchildren, it has done its job. It has done more than its job.
Someone says, they is not going to be happy about you saying they has a mental disorder. Sam Smith.
Dear.
Well, they have a...
No, they okay. has. They're doing it wrong on purpose. It's great.
But really, my last point on this is it's going to get interesting then at the next award show.
Yeah, of course. Because now what category is Sam Smith going to be put into? Because that's how we do awards shows. Best actor, best actress.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen if it's all just one category? Then what happens if it's a man every year?
Well, except...
What happens if the women aren't as good at acting as the men? Or what happens if the men aren't as good as women? And then the men never get awards. And then the women go, well, it's because we're better. And the men go, no, it's because there's discrimination. And
well, it'll become like Miss South Africa, where it has to kind of rotate on a black, 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 coloured, white, black, 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 coloured, Indian, white.
All right.
So it'll have to be like male, male, female, 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 male, male, female. It'll have to be some sort of algorithm.
Did anybody go to the Mugabe funeral?
Are you asking us in this room?
I just didn't feel like going.
Anybody go? Not for me. Did anybody see any of the stuff on TV? Because I didn't see anything.
Yeah, social media.
All right, tell me what's happened.
It's just a little awkward when even international press cover how our president was booed when he was speaking at the Mugabe funeral.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I caught wind of over the weekend. Other than that, I didn't really see much about it. But yeah, when President Cyril Ramaphosa was up speaking, a lot of the mourners who were at the funeral were booing him and they were shouting out different catcalls on Saturday as he was in the middle of his eulogy. And this is all after our anti-immigrant violence in Johannesburg. So according to the New York Post, they say these anti-immigrant violences have killed 12 people and, of course, has then spread the widespread looting and forcing hundreds of Zimbabweans and other foreign nationals into shelters after mobs destroyed their businesses and their homes. So Ramaphosa has ended up actually having to say, I stand before you as a fellow African to express my regret and apologize for what has happened in our country. But yeah, that's exactly why he was being booed.
I think the biggest thing that was noticed at Mugabe's funeral is that the stands in the grandstand in the stadium were empty. They say it was about a quarter full.
Oh wow. Well, there, that'll tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
Nobody really gives a shit. He didn't come up and wake up in the coffin, I hope.
No, because that pastor wasn't there, the one who makes people rise from the dead.
Oh right.
He had another appointment.
God for that. That's the only thing I was worried about.
At Chester's funeral, but then he did. His car broke down on the way.
I saw Chester's funeral on social media as well. There were a lot of people there and old rugby players and all the rest of it. And that seems to have been a very lovely affair and occasion.
Yes.
People seem to have been very very buoyed by the feeling of camaraderie and of general appreciation of the life of Chester Williams. It seems that he had a lot of love for him in South Africa, and I'm not surprised by that at all. But it's nice to see that there are still outpourings of genuine solidarity and hope and togetherness at occasions like this, which are usually quite sad. But it's nice to see that, you know, South Africa can sometimes get our act together.
Yeah.
Mm.
Chester Williams. Yeah, rest in peace, dude. I only met him a couple of times. He was always very pleasant and always very charming and always very humorous and self-deprecating and just a lovely guy.
Man, and doesn't super sound like, young.
Doesn't sound like a lot of people had anything bad to say about Chester Williams, which is terrific. And yes, as you say, super young, in his 40s.
49.
Heart attack. Huh. Mugabe is only going to be buried in 30 days after they build the burial site. Did you hear about that?
So there are different reports around this because according to IOL, Mugabe was buried yesterday at a national shrine. So there's been a lot of talk around whether he'd have a government burial plan, whether he'd be buried in the Heroes Acre in Zimbabwe. But yeah, according to what I've just seen now, Ayawal, who cites the likes of the family spokesperson Leo Mugabe, saying, I can confirm that he will be buried at the National Heroes Acre on Sunday in a national shrine. Yeah, that's what I can go by.
Huh.
Mm.
All right.
I mean, reports like that he'd be buried in 30 days. I also heard something ridiculous like Mugabe is going to be buried in a multi-million dollar coffin where...
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I think
maybe that's what they stole that golden toilet for, so you just flush him down it. That would be the best way to do things.
I can't even finish the story because it's so ridiculous.
Flush him down the golden toilet.
They said it would be a multi-million dollar coffin that has some sort of camera in the coffin so that his family can watch him as he goes down into the ground from like their phones or tablets or something. I just think... let's just hold on to ourselves and not be that ridiculous. Like,
that is so good.
It's just silly and stupid, really.
Yeah. So, want to know what Meghan Markle's itinerary is for when she comes to South Africa?
Ooh. Who's it? Who? What?
Meghan Markle.
Oh, she. Yes, she's coming with Prince Harry.
Have you forgotten who that is?
Sorry. Yes. No, I just needed to check.
Okay. What did you have to check?
Because I thought, I don't know that Suits is on and they're doing a live recording here. Yeah. And then I suddenly remembered, oh no, things have changed.
So they arrive in Cape Town on the 23rd of September. That's a week's time, Monday.
Okay.
Harry and Meghan will attend an event with a project that teaches children about their rights and provides self-defense classes and female empowerment training to young girls.
That's good.
2 days later, Meghan will make a solo visit to the Woodstock Exchange area, where she'll meet with female entrepreneurs and investors working in technology.
All right.
While Harry is then in Angola, Meghan will remain in Cape Town and take part in a Women in Public Service breakfast at the High Commission.
Uh-huh.
She'll speak with women who've played key roles in the development of South Africa's parliament, government, education, and healthcare systems.
Right.
A few days later in Joburg, it doesn't say exactly where, the Duchess will meet with academics and students and discuss the challenges faced by young women in accessing higher education. Then after that, she'll visit a school to see the work of a charity which receives UK aid funding for its mission to raise awareness of and tackle sexual violence in schools. So very, very apt at the moment. In South Africa, the causes that she's chosen to promote and to be present at.
Sure. It sounds like she's been reading the newspapers.
It does. But also, I feel like this itinerary would have been set months ago, even before the protest action.
Well, I think these are things that that are always an issue. And her timing is really good here because it's the most relevant. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, what else is she going to do? She's not going to come here and talk about the economy, is she? No.
But, I mean, she does have other interests. This is all specifically, the entire trip has now been focused on women empowerment.
All right.
Not sure what Harry will be doing in Angola, but he's got lots of animal causes and things going on there.
Right.
And there's no mention of baby Archie. I don't think he'll be put in a golden case for us to all view
no,
him.
No, he's going to stay at home. That's usually what happens.
No, they're bringing him with.
They bring him with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, don't know why that's necessary. He's how old? A couple of months.
A couple of months, yeah.
So he's not going to know whether he's in South Africa or Britain. Should have left him there. All right, a few other things that are coming in. Why Meghan isn't going to Angola? They're still nervous about the Zika virus there. That's what I didn't know that, but that's probably a good explanation. That's what Chris says.
I thought it only affected pregnant women. Please excuse my ignorance.
Yeah. Then Ruth says, by the time the gender awards ceremonies get completely out of hand and nondescriptive, the human race will be competing against Android AI. That's a good point. So eventually there'll only be one category. It'll be human versus the machines. And a lot of people saying that they would like to bury Mugabe in their garden just so they can make sure that he doesn't come back up.
I think that's how my domestic worker feels. But also one of my mom's carers is Zimbabwean, and she's quite a wise old lady. And she says, because she was around in Mugabe's good days when he started off really well.
Yes.
And she blames everything on him marrying Grace. She can actually see her despising having seen the two of them get married.
All right.
So she's a horrible, evil woman. All she wanted was power.
Meghan should make an appearance on Generations like Brooke Logan did. Yeah, that's a good idea. She'll go back to the acting like that. It'll, like a duck to water. All right. What else is happening? Let's look at some cool websites because you found a whole list of them that could be useful, fun, or both.
Yes. There is a website where you can find out how many people are in space right now.
Oh, that's cool. Yes. All right. How do I do that?
Instead of reading all of these out, I think I'll post them. I'll ask Sia to put them onto Cliff Central's platforms.
Okay.
But that's by, it's quite easy to remember this one. You go to howmanypeopleareinspacerightnow.com.
How many people are in space right now? God, that's a long... That is one long
the
ass.
Longest URL Yo. Ever.
Okay, how many people are in spacerightnow.com? Okay, and it says... Dun, 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 dun. Oh, it gives you the list of all of them. There are 6 people in space right now.
There we go.
They are Christina Koch, Nick Hague, Alexei Ovchinin, Alexander Svortsov, Andrew Morgan, and Luca Parmitano. We've got 1 Italian, 3 Americans, and 2 Russians.
2 Russians, yeah.
How interesting. And this poor woman, Christina Koch, has been up there for 186 days.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah. Anyway, good for her.
Something's got to bring her back down to Earth.
6 people in space right now.
Very cool.
No, that is nice.
There is a website which where you put in the name of a country, and the true size will show you exactly how big that country is in comparison to others.
Let me guess. This howbigismycountry.com.
This is actually weird. This is the one that doesn't have the link.
Oh, no, Leanne.
Oh, sorry. TheTrueSize.com.
The true size. It's not a penis size thing, right?
No.
Okay.
So, for instance, if you look at Alaska, you can hover it over Europe and see how big...
Oh, I can pick up...
Yes.
Oh, this is brilliant. Okay, so I can pick up South Africa. Hmm. And then I can move it around.
You can hang it over Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan. Well, the US looks very small if you move it around the equator, but as you move it towards the poles, it gets bigger and bigger. So that's very cool. How awesome. I like it a lot.
Mm.
This is going to be fun. I'm going to be busy with this all day.
Pick I'm up sure. Brazil. Anything to do with maps, eh?
No, I'm going to look up South Africa and compare us to other countries.
Yeah.
How nice. All right. There we go. Thank
you. Okay. There is there's a website where you can see every single plane in the sky at any given time.
Yeah, I've heard about this. What's it called?
Flightradar24.com.
All right.
I mean, if we just look at the states alone, you won't believe how many aeroplanes there are up right now.
That isn't all too comforting to me.
No, it's not.
I don't
not.
Like that this information is... Oh.
It reminds me of that game where you've got to taxi all of the aeroplanes without letting them crash. And coffee drinker, we were speaking about alcohol poisoning. Imagine caffeine poisoning.
Yeah.
You can use a caffeine calculator.
Okay.
So it shows you how much of your favorite energy drink, soda, or coffee you are consuming. And you literally enter the drink, your weight, and calculate your limits. So it'll show you how much of any given caffeinated beverage it'll take to kill you. And that is caffeineinformer.com.
Huh.
Gareth, I bet you you're still on...
I'm still looking at the map.
The true size.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll go on for it.
Hasn't moved on.
I'll go on
for it. No, sorry, I'm just checking now. Yeah? If you compare us, we are like, compared to Australia, Australia is 5 times the size of South Africa. It's unbelievable how big Australia is compared to us. And by the way, Australia is probably about as big as China. Think about that for a second.
That's the difference unreal. Being is that there is a lot of land that's inhabitable.
Yeah.
By humans.
And if you put us down over Finland, Sweden, and Norway, we're about as big as all 3.
Sure.
We're almost as big as Greenland.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite good.
Uh-huh.
Hope Trump doesn't want to buy us.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
No, we're a shithole, remember.
Yeah, yeah, shithole.
Okay, how about if you go to isitchristmas.com, what do you think you would see?
Well, who needs to be reminded whether it's Christmas or not?
Isitchristmas.com. Will it say just yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, come on now.
It only says yes for one day of the year.
Mine says near.
Ooh, I said it.
It says in Afrikaans, near.
How does yours speak to you in Afrikaans?
I don't know.
Christmas.com.
So it's,
if mine says, I'll be really glad.
Yours also
no,
says
it says near.
Oh.
It is not Christmas.com.
Yes.
Okay.
No, is it Christmas?
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
If you're in need of a pseudonym by any chance.
Okay.
If you're on the run from the cops or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Nothing's sketchy at all.
The site has you covered. It's called behindthename.com. It allows you to, it creates a random, it gives you a random name generator.
All right.
So there are quite a few options you can put in. You can choose your gender, And yes, you can choose non-binary. You put in how many names you want. And then you can choose a whole lot of categories, like different countries or ethnicities or even fantasy characters. If you want something biblical, even if you're looking
the weirdest thing
for like a hillbilly type name
I have ever come across.
Gareth has become less and less popular in England and Wales. The name Gareth has gone from 0.12%, it's about as many as the number of people who are gender non-binary, right down to 0.04.
Goodness me.
Yeah, it's really struggling, my name.
Oh dear, if you have a son, you'd better call him Gareth.
Yeah, and then it goes into like where your name comes from and where you could, in popular culture, like whether or not there are famous people named that. It's really interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, apparently the meaning of my name is unknown.
Okay. Don't you know it, doesn't it?
Well, they say it comes from Welsh, possibly related to Gwared, or meaning gentleness.
See, I'm going to call you Gwared from now on.
Gwared.
It's a mix between Gwara and Gareth.
What is?
The variant is Gahariet from Arthurian romance.
Gwared.
I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Because the double D is actually th in
Gwareth.
In Welsh, so it's Gwareth.
It's even worse.
I know someone in the Cape who'd call you that.
Someone drunk. All right.
Ever thought, if I start right now, how long will it take me to watch this entire series?
Yes,
you
that's
see,
a
now,
good one.
That show is actually useful.
That's really useful.
That is useful.
So if you wanted to start watching Stranger Things, because you've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what you're in for.
You can go to tiiie.me.
Ooh, Leanne, I hope all of these websites don't have weird viruses or whatnot.
No.
tiiie.me.
Been on all of these so far.
.me.
Okay. So for instance, Stranger Things, if you had to start it now.
Type in a TV show. I'm going to put in Breaking Bad because I still have to watch
that. Oh, yeah,
I still
haven't, yeah.
Right. Okay, and then there are 8 seasons. So
and you click onto the next thing.
Okay, Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Hang on a second. And now?
Yeah, it should calculate it for you. So I've put in, this is what goes on in my head. I just put in Desperate Housewives. It has 8 seasons. So it would take me 7 days and 12 hours to
Straight.
Watch everything.
That's like without showering, breathing, eating, sleeping.
Yeah, it says to me, there are 5 seasons. I'm going to take 1 day, 22 hours and 29 minutes. That's too long. 1 whole day and 22 hours. Ugh. All right, so I've got to budget 2 whole days if I'm going to get through Breaking Bad in 1 marathon.
And that's,
useful.
But that's without any other thing
useful
going on.
Useful to know. Good.
This one's very useful.
Yes?
Wireless passwords from airports and lounges around the world. And I checked it out.
Ooh.
And it's real because I found all of the passwords to... I can't give you the email address. It's a google.com maps thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's got a million letters in the URL. So again, I'm going to ask Sia to put this link up on
we'll put
Central.
On the podcast page.
But for instance, if I search.
Mm-hmm. What are you searching for there? It sounds like you're typing up a storm.
Johannesburg.
All right.
Oh, so you put in. Oh. So you put in the name of the airport. Or the location, and then you'll find out all of the passwords.
All of the passwords. It'll give you for the Bidvest Lounge. So if you're going to sit outside the lounge.
No way.
Yes. How amazing.
Huh.
How did you discover all of this, dare I ask? Leanne, you got your...
Some article. For OR Tambo, it says, get free Wi-Fi, 30 minutes. Connect to Always On. Often you have to do this manually. It shows you exactly how to do it.
But you see,
you
that isn't
the
exciting
lounge.
Part. Yeah, now you get to the lounges. That's exciting.
So the password for the South African lounge, the network name is Always On at SAA. The password is VIA Fly SA. This part showed me that I know it's true because Slow's password was Relax.
Yeah, that's true. I used that once.
The Shongololo Lounge network name and password is Rubens.
You know, I'm now just going to use this all the time. Just go and sit outside these lounges
really cool.
And don't pay like however much you have to.
Okay. That's really cool. This one was my favorite. It's you're getting old. So the website Leanne. Is you. Oh, that's Y-O-U.
Yeah.
Dot regret. Sorry. You dot R-E.
R-E. Yeah.
So in other words, you're gettingold.com.
Gettingold.com.
So you plug in, you say this is for me or for a friend. You plug in your birth date.
All right.
And it tells you a million things that have happened in your life and moments in history, how old you were when things happened.
Oh, no. I don't want to know all of these things.
It's actually really interesting. You know, a lot of my baby years and months were linked very closely to Elvis Presley's death.
Wow. Person getting old is me, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Emilia Clarke plus Mark Wahlberg's daughter, Grace Wahlberg.
So if you combine their current ages.
If you add them together, you get to my age.
Yeah.
God damn. That's terrible. My star sign is Virgo. Total number of candles in my birthday cake is 903 if you add all my birthday cakes together. My heart has beaten 1 million. Oh, God, I can't even read this number. It's so long. Sorry, 1,536,144,619 times.
This is actually fascinating.
It's more and more fascinating.
This is unbelievable. The number of times I've been around the sun is 39 million kilometers. That's amazing. That's absolutely incredible.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So for me, it says, as an infant, the first search engine service, Yahoo, was founded just 26 days after I was born.
Wow.
eBay was founded 7 months after I was born. And then Backstreet Boys released their first single when I was 7 months old as well. Because that is a time in history, right?
Yeah.
What I found amazing is that I was already 14 when the World Wide Web was announced to the public.
Sure. That's incredible.
You're getting old.
Well, here's something really interesting. Out of 100,000 people born on the same day as me, approximately 95,311 are still alive. So then it gives you a graph and it says, in black, people born on your birth date who are now dead, and then people born on your birth date who are still alive.
I don't
and
want
luckily,
to see that.
It's just a small slice
so
of the
imagine
pie.
So imagine you were 90 and you tried yours. It would be a big circle of black.
I don't want to see
that's
that.
That's exactly right. But that was an interesting sight. Okay, cool.
Love it.
I like it very much. What else?
There is one called isitdarkoutside.com.
And again, it's just a yes or no answer?
Yes, but it actually works. And I don't know, having worked at the SABC, sometimes we were in the bowels of the SABC where there are no windows.
Yeah.
And you would often wonder when you were leaving at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock to go home at night, would it be light or dark?
So is it dark outside? And the answer no comes up.
Yes. And it's set to your time zone, so it'll always be accurate.
All right.
But it's quite nice for those dawn to dusk moments, I think.
I think it could be useful. Fine, fair enough.
Yes. So there are plenty more. I don't know if you want to...
Yes, I'm loving this. Oh, this is fascinating.
Good. Okay. I like this one. It might not be up your street, Gareth. It's called myfridgefood.com. And you go and click exactly what ingredients you have. It's not only your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
You click what's available in your kitchen at any given time. And it might be something weird like over the weekend I had... Well, they call it ground beef. Here we call it mince.
Mm-hmm.
I had uncooked mince. I had broccoli. I had eggs. And so you go on. You can add in some spices and things.
And it'll help you figure out what you can make.
It was pages of recipes.
How cool.
Of what I could make.
I think that's very useful. Very, very handy, especially for people who actually don't know what the hell to make and are not feeling particularly creative. You've got this stuff and then it'll figure out the best thing for you. You might have some brilliant menu
absolutely
that you could whip up.
Listen,
awesome.
I've noticed if you have potatoes, you can make just about anything.
Yeah.
So it also helps with figuring out which staples to keep in your cupboard or your fridge. I really like that one.
I like it.
The last one that I physically checked myself, because there was still another 15 to go.
Yeah.
The last one that I checked was it's a game called Drench.
What?
It's just a fun little game to kill time. It's nothing serious. It's just you've got to pick colors on the screen and eventually drench the square in one color. And you've got only a certain amount of moves to do that in. So I started playing that, and then that's why I didn't get to the rest of the list.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we'll leave it there then.
And that's called, the website is flashbynight.com. So I do want to get to the others, and I'll save it.
All right. Well, that's enough
for us. Some really cool ones.
That's enough for us to think about today.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been spoiled. Okay. Waiting for the... This is very good. Is it that... If that dark outside website uses time zones, then it'll never be useful in Cape Town. Why?
Oh, that's true.
Just because Cape Town's
further
south.
I don't know if it does use time zones. You know, again, you can't really tell much.
Might use geotagging.
Yes.
Then it's a little bit more specific.
Yeah.
This is the content we signed up for. Thanks, Leanne. Really enjoying this. Yeah. See? This is the kind of stuff you get. Total number of candles on my birthday cake so far is 666. Ominous as fuck.
Ooh.
Yeah, that is kind of scary. That's from Sean. Sean, be careful out there. Hey, guys, Jay here. Just want to say Leanne always has something interesting to add to the show. Keep it up. Well, see.
Thank you.
Proving her worth, our Leanne Moll.
Yes.
All right, let's see what else is in the news. There's other stuff to talk about. Apparently, a fisherman caught a strange dinosaur-like creature. Where was this?
I often think these things are fake, but there's actually a video, and it was on Fox News.
Go on.
So I now believe it. It was in the Nordic Sea.
Yes.
By a gentleman called Oscar Lundahl. He was reportedly fishing for blue halibut off the coast of the island of Andøya in Norway when he made the catch. Mm-hmm. He was looking for blue halibut, which is quite a rare species, about 5 miles offshore. Mm-hmm. He had four hooks on one line. Felt something quite big on the end of it. It took him about 30 minutes to reel it in because it was over 2,600 feet deep. Well, when he pulled it out, he almost jumped out of the boat.
Jesus, what was it?
It was this fish with an enormous set of eyes.
A monster.
So the way I can describe it is you've often seen fresh whole fish in markets, right? Mm-hmm. And some of them have got really big eyes and you kind of want to squish them with your finger. If you imagine taking one of those big eyes that are like the size of an old one-rand coin or the size of a peanut butter jar lid and putting it onto a goldfish.
Okay.
That gives That's you the scale that I'm trying to describe
these
here.
These really big eyes. It's got a flat sort of... body. It's almost like a vacuum cleaner type of
it
body.
It does look like you can take its tail and vacuum the floor.
Yeah, and it's got this very strange long tail, which doesn't seem to end in any fin. It just kind of tapers off. So it's a bizarre thing. It looks almost like a science fiction space vessel.
Yep.
Very odd.
So they have identified it. It's apparently a ratfish, and that tells you why it doesn't have like a fin on the end of its tail.
Ugh.
It's a relative of the shark that reportedly dates back 300 million years.
Really?
They live in really deep water and apparently very rarely get caught.
Wow.
So the fish, because of the extreme change in pressure, the fish didn't survive the experience. Otherwise, he would have thrown it back in. So not wanting to waste it, he took it home and he cooked it.
Ugh.
He said, despite its ugly appearance, it was really tasty. It's a bit like cod, but tastier, he said.
Mm. Don't sign me up for that one, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, like, what if it had poison glands and things? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm okay with not trying that rat fish. It's not my idea of fun. Okay.
Sure.
I'm just glad they didn't find it anywhere near us. It's in Norway, so that's good news.
It's not good looking.
You know, a lot of people who want to get out of... being on social media, they want to get offline. They don't want their private information shared by everybody else. And what they do is they then go online and they delete their Facebook, for example. Mm. But you shouldn't just do that. Apparently, there are some tips now that will give you an idea of how you should actually go about removing yourself from the internet. And some of it is like you have to poison your data. You have to actually misinform whoever's going to try to, you know, steal your information by putting false, fake information in there.
Yeah.
How does this work?
There's a widespread movement at the moment for people to hashtag delete Facebook. But even if you go through all the steps to wipe your account the way Facebook shows you, the odds are very high that Facebook still has deep caches of all your user data, which still can be used. So better than replacing, or rather simply deleting your account, is to replace all that data with nonsense. There's a very easy way to do it. You're not going to now go and rewrite all your posts. However, it's not for the everyman. So the person who came up with this idea is Kevin Matthew. He's a former systems administrator, owns a small web development company, and he has shared a piece of script or code that he can replace existing Facebook posts with. And it's usually just randomly generated nonsense. So apparently, if you do have a little bit of coding know-how, you can use this script to repeatedly mangle all your Facebook posts over a period of several months. So it makes the bulk of Facebook's data on you virtually unusable.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, so it's simply a proof of concept, says Matthew, because actually doing this might be in violation of Facebook's terms of service. So use at your own risk. So for instance, it would take a post that made sense before, kind of sense before, and it'll just make a gobbledygook with, it looks like the end of a URL with numbers and letters.
I'd like to do that for Twitter.
And then shut it down?
Yeah, just, no, to make anyone who searches further back than like a year, that they, it just comes up with nonsense. Because then, you know, people, the biggest problem we have these days is that someone who's like, let's say 12 years old, and they get there, they sign on to social media for the first time, and they say something a 12-year-old would say. Oh, you know, fuck you guys, you're all assholes, or whatever. Then 20 years later, they run for government or something.
Yeah.
Someone looks it up and goes, oh, but look what kind of a person we're dealing with. But they were 12.
Very true. And I'm sure...
Erase.
It's like being running for office or something, and you've got to have teams who are going to delete all of this stuff for you.
Exactly. I'm telling you, that's the way to go. We need to be able to clear the memory of the internet at some point, because human memory wouldn't last that long, and people shouldn't be held to what they did 20 years ago.
And again, I'm not the type of person who worries about whether someone's got my data or not. Sometimes it proves useful because I get useful ads thrown at me.
All right. I'm going to interrupt you, Leanne, because I want to speak to someone. We've decided to do something called Medical Monday today. We are blooming at the moment with many startups that are changing healthcare through innovation. Some of the brightest and best ideas are transforming healthcare, and they've been born on our continent. Just the other day, we heard of this new supposed potential cure for Ebola.
Yes.
So drones delivering medical supplies, systems that transform diagnosis, apps that connect remote medical workers to resources at nearby hospitals. People can operate on the internet. They have a robot on the one end that does what the person at the controls on this end are doing. Want an example? Well, we're going to speak to Abdul Khaliq Mohammed. He is a biochemical and biomedical engineer who believes the continent's healthcare issues can be solved by using technology. That's why he's created a 3D prosthetic hand.
Wow.
Yes, and he's on the line to talk to us. Hey, Abdul, how are you?
Morning, Gareth. How are you?
Very good, man. Listen, first of all, this sounds incredible. So congratulations. How far advanced is your prototype? I mean, are you already making these things?
We're not making it yet. We've got a functional prototype, so it does the basics, you know, but we still need to strengthen the structure, do a lot of medical certification, as is common with medical devices, before we're ready to actually start selling.
Tell me how it works and what the idea is. Where did it come from?
Okay, so to start with the idea, it started about 12 years ago when I was looking for, you know, applications of artificial intelligence in the body, because that's what interested me. So I came across this idea of being able to control a robotic prosthetic hand with your thought. So I started researching and investigating it, and gradually the research grew, and we actually started with the prosthetic hand itself about 5 years ago at Wits. Okay, so what it does is it will measure the electrical activity from a muscle on the arm. So if a person's amputated just below the elbow, your bicep muscle, for example, is still working. So you can use that bicep muscle to get some neural information. And then it translates that into a command, and then it tells the then it causes the fingers to move, so to grip, for example, so you can hold a cup.
Abdul, that's amazing. And we're talking about very, very small measurable amounts of electrical information that the nerves put out. These are not, you know, you don't get massive charge or massive current out of these things. So how did you start to measure those in the first place? Are there already tools for doing that?
So you get commercial and clinical devices that can do this quite accurately. The challenge for us, though, was not just to measure it, but to actually get that kind of measuring system in at a low cost. That was the difficulty.
How do you manage to measure this and then get the prosthetic hand to take that measurement and convert it into a gesture, for example?
So it's you got to be able to train the algorithm to understand what's going on with the muscle. So you got to know when it's moving, when it's not moving, the degree of strength, almost kind of interpreting what the body is saying based on its muscle activity, and then use that, understand it, interpret it to say, okay, let's move the pinky finger, let's then move the index finger a little bit.
That's amazing.
So that's where intelligence comes in.
It's absolutely amazing. How accurate is it? Have you found that if someone is using the prosthetics, the prototype that you've got, do you find that they're trying to move the pinky finger and then suddenly the index finger moves, or is it fairly in keeping with what is attempted by the person who's using their brain to make the thing do things?
So we've tested it sort of on basic movements first, and we've done like a full finger grasp, and the person can relatively accurately control the force with which they hold something.
Amazing.
So tested it on a few little pinches, so you can hold a marble and hold a pin, and then you can control it just enough to keep the pin in place without having to drop it. That's on able-bodied people, though. So, we need a lot more extensive testing on amputees, because they will differ from one person to another significantly.
It's phenomenal. Do you think that this thing will be able to, you'll be able to eventually manufacture prosthetic hands like this that will be on sale? And do you think that the price will eventually come down to the point where people will be able to afford to buy one?
Well, that's the plan. So we got a 3-year plan to try and commercialize this, obviously pending on funding. And we're setting out from the beginning to try and keep it low cost. So we're not saying, okay, let's make this prosthetic hand. It's going to cost a certain amount. And then when we start manufacturing and then mass producing it, then the price will come down. So we're taking the approach of trying to reduce the cost from the beginning, simply to make it more affordable for average South African people, and then for African people as well.
What does it look like?
At the moment, it's quite a squarish, boxish looking hand. It's printed in black plastic, and it looks kind of futuristic. There's some wires sticking out. There's some motors that you can see. So it's like a squarish version of a Terminator hand.
Wow!
Which some people like, and some people won't like. So we'll adjust the aesthetics as we go along.
I've got Mr. D. Vader on the phone who'd like to speak to you. Mr. Vader, go ahead.
I would like a hand. When can I order mine?
Do you get some inspiration from science fiction when you start designing something like this?
I think it's from my perspective, it's been more a surprise to see that, we designed it for a need. Use the technology that we had and trying to develop it more, and then suddenly you have this product that resembles science fiction. Then you take a step back. Oh, this is a bit shocking now. Mm. I watched these movies as a kid, and all of a sudden now I'm developing something that looks similar. It's that's really fascinating for me.
Yeah, when you can make something that runs around like that hand in the Addams Family thing, then I'll be impressed. I mean, that's the next level, right? I think this is terrific. I mean, obviously, the medical application is enormous. The amount of joy, satisfaction, usefulness, practical ability that you will bring to people who have lost limbs, for example, would be tremendous too. It's very exciting stuff. It's hard for you, I'm sure, to hold back and to not get too excited too quickly, because there's still many bridges to cross, right? And there's still lots of development and testing and I suppose experimentation that needs to take place.
Absolutely, yes. You've hit the nail on the head. That's exactly it.
But congratulations. And Abdul, I hope we hear some more from you in the coming months. Good luck at the Innovation Summit, which I know is coming up soon. Let me just tell everybody about the Innovation Summit as well. The South African Innovation Summit's Africa Cup is open to innovative ideas, startups, and early stage companies in tech and tech-enabled sectors. Finalists pitch their businesses in front of an esteemed panel of judges on the final day of the summit. The winner is set to receive 5 million rands in investment, which is also 3 weeks of acceleration. The Cup has 11 finalists from a range of categories, including fintech, big data, social entrepreneurship, and healthcare. And it takes place Wednesday the 11th to Friday the 13th of September. So it's already over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We did our final pitch on Friday.
And how did it go?
Oh, it was it went really well. It was good. We didn't win, but the exposure was wonderful, and we had an opportunity to meet lots of similar-minded entrepreneurs and potential funders and collaborators. And it was just a wonderful space to be in, you know, to hear the ideas and the thinking of all these entrepreneurs across Africa.
Apparently, your hand can tie a shoelace. Is that true?
Not yet. We'll get there. We'll get there, though.
It's amazing because I know people who have perfectly good hands that still can't tie a shoelace properly. All right.
Yeah, they should see straps.
Abdul, thank you so much, man. Good luck to you. There we go. Abdul Khaliq Mohammed, who is the 3D prosthetic hand project leader. Isn't that cool?
It's very amazing.
Sure. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Soon, if you do lose your hand in a terrible, horrible accident where it gets crushed by heavy machinery or something, you'll be able to just get one of Abdul's hands and you'll be back in action very soon.
Well, like my friend's stepfather who cut his finger off at the Bisto factory.
Oh, that's not nice. Cut off his finger? Which finger?
The middle one.
Oh, do you know, I almost cut off my finger when I was slicing an apple.
Oh, yes, right? You did.
And I went to the specialist hand surgeon and she told me, never forgotten this because it struck me as so bizarre. Which finger would you most like to lose? If you had to lose one, which one would you least like to lose?
Least, like my most important one? Mm-hmm. My thumb.
Thumb is obviously, you can't do without your thumb.
So you're must screwed. I choose between the others?
It's got to be the others.
Then my forefinger.
Your index finger?
Yes.
The one that you use when you're making that?
Like to make a pinch of salt.
Yes, okay.
But you also wouldn't be able to hold a pen.
No, you would. This is the point. So I hurt my index finger.
Uh-huh.
So she said to me, that's the best one to hurt. If you're going to hurt any of them, if you're going to lose a finger, that's the best one to lose.
Really?
So I said to her, how? She said, look, if you hold a fist, look at how much work your pinky finger and your ring finger do. They're responsible for those tight grip,
yes,
hard jobs, right? And they close the fist and they make it possible for you to shape your hand in the way to hold objects that are bigger and that kind of thing. The middle finger can take on, you know, your fuck you finger.
Yeah.
That one can take on the responsibilities of your index
finger.
That's
so true. It's right next door.
Correct. And it can learn to do the fine work.
The pinch of salt.
That your index finger does. You can still use that finger for those things. You lose your index, it's the one you could afford to lose the most. I know it's a horrible thing to think about. But when you're thinking about prosthetics, that's worth considering.
Yeah.
So she said, basically, if you're going to lose a finger, make it the index. Don't lose your thumb.
So if you're being tortured and the your torturer says,
like,
you can lose
thought.
Any finger you want, which one?
Give me your finger.
Index, here it is.
Pretend you're pointing at the moon like E.T. and use that one.
No.
Yes. Something to think about.
You can use a cigar cutter on that.
I remember you did tell us the story. But wait, did you drive yourself to hospital with that bleeding finger?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
Could he see the bone?
Uh-huh.
Oh. My dad did something similar making potatoes. Yeah.
I will never, ever slice an Avo like that again. I made an Avo salad for myself last night for supper.
I mean, it's where you were cutting watermelon.
I know, I was such an idiot. No, if I think back now, I was so dumb to have made that move with the knife. But
it happens.
I get cold thinking about it now, but so dumb. Mm.
I knew someone who used, you know, a stick blender.
Mm-hmm.
She blended something and there was stuff caught in it.
Oh. So
she used a finger, but with her left hand, she turned on the button again by mistake.
Did it mangle? mangle her whole finger up.
Completely mangle. Big chunky blades. And she was also by herself when it happened. She had to drive herself to hospital.
All right, very good. Gugu's voice is very sexy, says Venetia.
Okay. Oh,
let Leanne show him how to do the telephone sex voice thing. Maybe
I don't
you'll
know if
get
it
lucky.
Works for men. I think it's a woman thing.
It's a woman thing. All right. That's all that we got time for this morning. I do have the Unnews for you. Unnews is making a return. Yes, from today. So stick around for that. And otherwise, there's plenty of good stuff coming up on cliffcentral.com today. Sia Masuku, you remember we spoke to him, an author with a passion for teaching children how to expand their knowledge on reading, writing, and speaking isiZulu. His book, Siyafunda, is available for purchase, but he managed to raise over 170,000 rand during a crowdfunding initiative. Mm. You get to hear about him in just a few minutes' time. But now, for your pleasure, here is the Unnews, making its triumphant return. Democratic Alliance leader Musi Maimane is just so embarrassed. Turns out he rents his house in Cape Town. He does not own a 4 million rand house, as declared to Parliament. After a deeper probe by our top-notch team from the Unnews, in an exclusive report, we can report that Maimane can only use the Virgin Active close to Parliament. He doesn't have one of those contracts that allows him to use any Virgin Active. In addition, my money has Discovery Classic Saver and not Discovery Comprehensive. And the Unnews is on the verge of maybe revealing that my money married a white woman just so he could avoid paying lobola. Musician Sam Smith says he's been at war with his gender and wants to be referred to as they and not he, him, his, etc. Other Unnews medical correspondents, including Dr. Harold Schlenter, have said that Sam Smith is also at war with collective language, pronouns, and taking his psychotropic medication. Celebrity reality soap star Ernest Obiorimukumu of Harare, Zimbabwe, is furious. In an Unnews exclusive, Obiorimukumu has told our political desk that he had to speed up his second cousin's funeral because they needed the fridge space for the late former president Robert Mugabe. As per Mugabe's stipulations, there has to be at least two empty fridges on either side of him. And Mugabe is to be laid to rest in about 28 days' time. And finally, in breaking news, this just in. According to an autopsy, Gavin Watson was actually dead before he crashed his car.
Oh.
So Watson possibly suffered a heart attack or related condition before the crash.
Told you.
According to experts, this explains why he drove so badly. We'll see you tomorrow.
More than just a case of not being able to do two things at once.
All right, bye-bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.